started.
Okay.
Sports Authority used to be right next to Target, and then on the other side is Target, yeah.
So it doesn't mean, meaning it's been approved. Needs, the document is not been approved, needs to know that.
By 5:32, we will call this meeting to order. Bart, can we have a roll call?
Yes, Don?
Here.
Genevieve?
Here.
Chelsea?
Here.
Doug?
Here.
Jennifer is absent, and Elijah has an excused absence, and Andrew?
Here.
Great, we have four.
Great, on to item three, approval of the agenda. Any discussion on the agenda?
I'm approved of the agenda.
Second.
Moved and seconded, any objections? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. On to item four, the public meeting, public involvement announcement. I will just read this, but it's on the agenda as well. PTAB meetings are open to the public, and the public is provided an opportunity to comment at each meeting. Action items, which is items under bullet six there, are presented by staff or consultant. After the committee discusses the action item, the public is invited to formally comment. If a member of the public has a comment that does not relate to an action item, an opportunity to comment will be provided under agenda item seven. All individuals addressing the board should state their name and limit their comments to 2 minutes. The board may address or respond to comments during agenda item eight. If there was no response to your comment, or you'd like a more detailed response, please stay and talk to a staff or board member after the meeting adjourns. Thank you, and we appreciate it if you would comply with those ground rules. Those are here to make sure we have an efficient meeting and can get out when we were scheduled to do so. Last month, we were quite a bit long, so we're trying to, and I'm working on running a more efficient meeting as well, Ryan, so.
Mr. Chair, could I just elaborate on that? Something in the announcement?
Feel free.
There's a sentence in the on the bottom of the agenda saying that the meeting's recorded. I just wanted to say that we don't always know, it is being recorded, we don't always know what the microphones are picking up, so just be aware of that. It might be side conversations that are picked up by the microphones. And I think the recordings are at some point available on the municipal website. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to agenda item 5 minutes. Any discussion or motions on the minutes?
Move to approve the minutes.
I will second them.
Any objection? Seeing none, the minutes from October 10th are approved. On to item six, action information items. Bullet A, bus advertising restriction policy.
So included in your packet is the draft policy that is a result of the work session that we had. But there is still outstanding questions regarding public versus non-public forum. So we are recommending that we table this until we can get more advice from legal. As to how we designate that and what the differences are. So we're recommending that this group tables this item for until we get an answer back.
Any board comment?
So just so, may I ask?
Go ahead.
So as the draft came out, so it removed all political advertising. Way I read it. So that's kind of what we're, that's kind of the main thing that relates to the nature of the forum, as I recall.
I believe so, but I'm not 100% sure if that's the only thing that it affects.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Through the chair, so once we get advice or warning about from legal differentiating between the public forum and the non-public forum, are we going to have another work session and then tweak it a little bit and then vote on it at the consequent PTAP meeting?
If the board thinks it's necessary to have another work session, I guess it depends on what legal comes back with and if it changes our course of action. Any other board discussion? Okay, this is an action item, so we have a public comment period. Again, the public comment period is only relevant to the draft media advertising policy in the packet.
As tabling.
And specifically to the board tabling that for future discussion in future meetings. Does anyone have any comments on that specific item?
I'm going to put in the record in my comments because you had this at the previous item of concern. With all due respect, I would request you to table this item and not decide on this item, really, at this time. Give it another meeting. Because my concerns at the previous meeting, which you don't have a clear record of what was said based on those minutes to say what people said at these meetings. Okay, all we have is names. Not what they said. Where are we going to find our comments and what other people really said on it? And do you, any of you remember what I said? Because it was concern about discrimination and all that stuff. And politically, how things were, if I recall, my words was how things were, who you're going to allow on there or not. And there were lawsuits, that reminds me, yeah. There were lawsuits back when George Sullivan was mayor, the first mayor of Anchorage, dealing with the bus down back in those days. So I would strongly encourage you just to give more thought. And I think you really need to advertise that particular item more noted in the press so they see what's going on. There's some news story about that, because I don't think you want to repeat what happened in Anchorage back in those days when there was deep discrimination on certain parties. Okay, before it became a thing that is, you shouldn't discriminate, so to speak. It was a different day 40 years ago, and I'm concerned you're falling into that trap here with this. So, and just a footnote, just some footnote, because it does have rep, and I'll be brief. The minutes that you just approved, you labeled it for a certain meeting, but if you look at the documents, it's saying September. In the other, and I was looking and says, where is, just finish this part, please, because it's part of the record of that, because you're going on an action item that was there in those minutes from the previous meeting. So you'll see September there when you go through that item here on the top page where it says minutes of PTB meeting of 9/12, and you announced it in the beginning of 10. So there's confusion that you see up here. It says 10. October 10th, and there, the next page. So when I first looked at it over here, I said, where's the minutes for the last meeting? Because I saw the September. So then,
you failed
to allow public to question those minutes. You took action item, and I was challenged when I said you need to put draft across the whole thing before you approve it.
We're limited to 2 minutes at this time. Thank you. Could you say your name for the record, please?
A reasonable opportunity to help you heard it. Allow me a few seconds to close with my comment and not be rude and disrespectful. Thank you. Eugene Carl Haven, and please spell it right this time.
Does anyone have any additional comments on tabling the advertising policy at this time? Seeing none, I will close public comment and entertain a motion on this item.
I motion to table the bus advertising restrictions until we have word from Ledge Legal or someone from Ledge Legal.
Second.
Board discussion on that motion. Hearing no discussion, call a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. The motion passes. We will table the advertising policy until a future date following the legal decision. That wraps up 6A. Moving on to 6B, Transit Loop Prioritized Project List and Cost Estimates. Steve.
Yeah, so everybody can follow along on this spreadsheet. Last time we met, we looked at the project list and how each project was tied into our performance targets. Today we have a prioritized project list and cost estimates. So we're looking from you a recommendation to move forward with the prioritized project list. Projects were prioritized by service provided, so people mover, anchor rides, or ride share. And then we provided, in the second and third column, there's capital cost estimates and operating cost estimates. These are planning level cost estimates. They will the numbers will probably be rounded up into the actual planning document, and then they are subject to change at the point of implementation based on current conditions. Capital cost estimates are considered one-time costs. Operating cost estimates are annual costs. There's a column for anchor rides. Some fixed drop people mover projects will have an implication on anchor rides, so there's a cost estimate provided. And then there's also a column for rideshare costs. Projects were prioritized by public vote. So we had two public event series. The combined support for all of these projects has totaled, and projects are ranked according to the public process. There is a sub-letter of each project if there's a caveat to the costing. So just for instance, project one was an old Seward route. There is a cost estimate for 30-minute service and a cost estimate for 60-minute service, so that we've separated those out, so that as the public and anybody is reviewing this document, if they want to advocate for one particular project, they will have a line item to do so. I'm just going to run through the prioritized list, so the first column, just so you can see how the projects were prioritized. So project one that received the most votes was a new route on Old Seward, project H. Second project is adding weekend span, so adding additional length of service on the weekends. Third project was implementing transit security. Fourth project was a new route on through Independence Park in Elmworth. The fifth project was a new route on 36th Avenue. Six was increasing frequencies. Seven was a new project in Fairview, Project F. Then there's a realignment of Project 21, or Route 21, I'm sorry, this Project C. And then revising the holiday policy to include the five holidays that were discontinued in 2016. On the top of the second page, realignment of the 92, Project P. Adding weekend span. Sorry, thank you, Chelsea. Adding weekday span. And that's another one that might, so it ranked 11. If you're looking, it's the second project on the second page. Another good example of how project can be broken up into different parts of that project. 11A would be expanding Route 91 to be a 60-minute route. 11B would be adding midday trips on the 92, and 11C would be bringing all the routes currently that operate all day, so that they operate until midnight. The next project is combining the 11 and the 31, and then a realignment of the 65. The next project is a study developing a plan based on analysis of peer cities' winter maintenance plans. And then a study to review on-time performance of each route. A new route, a new neighborhood route in Eagle River, and microtransit in West Anchorage. Realignment of the 91. Expanding the UCAS and employer benefits program, creating a new business development position. Study examine existing fares for each service and best practice policies for transfers within peer cities. A new route in Southeast Anchorage neighborhood. Top of the third page. Implementing new technology that allows for enhanced rider communications. Study inventory bus stops and determine non-compliance with bus stop amenities. A study to conduct a route analysis that's considering missed trips. A new route in Southwest Anchorage, and another study to conduct a route analysis And this is about getting the ratio between transit and single occupancy vehicle travel time ratio between less than or equal to 1.5. A new route in the downtown circulator. And then the last project for People Mover is a study to review and identify key transfer opportunities. And that, if you look in the notes, it will tell you the performance target that that is tied to synchronizing 80% of the fixed route transfers within 8 minutes or less. So those are 28 projects for People Mover. Anchorage projects. The number one project voted on was providing same day scheduling and decreasing the wait time, on-time performance, and then travel time, so that 95% of the trips that are less than or equal to 5 miles could be completed in 50 minutes or less. And then rideshare projects, increased marketing efforts, increased the van pool subsidy, and then establishing a coordinator subsidy. Okay, so we're just asking for your recommendation to approve to move forward with the project list as they are prioritized.
Okay, board discussion.
Through the chair, so I have two questions. The first is related to the transit security contract. So what would that entail? Like, what is transit security?
That is an operating cost based on officers. So getting officers that could ride buses, be stationed at transit, either bus stops or transit, downtown like transit center.
And then the second question is on the on the second page, it's a realignment of Route 65. It looks like there is no cost.
Yes, since we prioritized by public input, we wanted to show that project where it fell in line. There's not a cost per se, but before we do that, we would put that back up for public review. But there were three projects for the realignment of the 65. This one got the most votes, and that would be just to take a trip away from the 40, so that once an hour, the 65 would go all the way through to downtown. So technically, it would not be adding service. It would be just redistributing service. Mm-hmm. So there's no additional cost. But since we did not rank by cost, we just wanted it to fall as it was, what should be focused on based on public input and our performance targets.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Through the chair, I want to make sure I understand. So the second thing on the first page, that is 2A, that's to expand the hours as to everything or just as to this possible new route?
Everything.
Oh, everything. Okay.
Yes.
All right. And then on the second page toward the bottom, the business development position and expanding the UPass and the employer benefits. That's all lumped into one, even though those are slightly different, I think. I mean, are those related?
Yeah, go ahead.
So the intent with that position would be that would be a task that person focuses on. We don't currently have an employee that has enough time to dedicate.
Right. So in addition to the other, the sort of business development thing, this would be an additional responsibility. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then on the third page, this study of inventorying bus stops to determine non-compliance, that's figuring out which ones are not in compliance with the ADA. Is that right? Okay. So have we ever done an inventory like that before?
Not of like professional analysis. We've just done spot checks, and our database is very spotty over the years. It's been hit and miss, so we need a comprehensive review.
Is there any funding in jeopardy or anything based on the fact that we don't have a
No.
I mean, it's a standard.
It's, we won't lose any funding. It's just if we ever change that bus stop or touch it or take a route away or put it back, you have to make it compliant. So the ones that are not compliant now, we're not in jeopardy of losing anything, but if we were to take that bus stop out or try to change it in any way, we have to make it compliant.
So any of the ones that we added with the big changeover, those were all compliant?
Those are all compliant, yep. So any bus stop that we have now.
This study would also give us, so every year when we apply for our money from the feds, we need to put together a report saying, okay, these are the 10 bus stops that we're going to address this year with this dollar amount. And so this would give us a really great starting point to say, we're going to knock out this 10, next year we're going to do this 10, or however many we can make work depending on the level of work that needs to be done.
Thank you.
Through the chair, so Doug mentioned that he wanted to clarify the UPass and business development position. So hearing that it's just one job, could we, like, if we were to pass this, amend that language a little bit so that's clearer, that it's not two separate things, but just one position doing two responsibilities?
So we already have, through the chair, sorry, we already have a position description basically drafted for that, but if it would be clearer for us to, say, create a business development position and not really dive into what the tasks would be, that would be great.
Okay. Or you could put business development and then put that in parentheses.
Or maybe put it in the notes
or
something.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Yeah, thanks. Through the chair, this item gets a lot of attention. I just want to highlight that item is a recommended action in the climate action plan as well, so it's nice to see the overlap that we're, you know, working across the board on different things and moving forward with stuff. So that's exciting to me.
I've been reading with great glee the 2019 APTA report, and I'm very excited. And for all of you who aren't aware of what the APTA is, American Public Transportation Association, and it's absolutely phenomenal how much of this overlaps with their recommendations and what other things are being done in other communities to raise transit rates. And so this is just really super exciting after having studied that. So good work, everyone.
So I think this is a great list of projects, and I certainly can't argue with the prioritization. I guess my only hesitancy is that, it's difficult to compare adding service to security to marketing positions to anchor rights and rideshare projects. They don't have the same metrics, even if you're talking about ridership. So I would support, I believe it's the intention is to provide more supporting documentation for each of these items so that when it comes around, that it's not strictly going by the number of votes. And I like that for lots of reasons. One, what if we don't have $3 million a year? What if we have $300,000 a year? But there's still a way to implement that that's supported by the plan. So supporting the documentation in terms of likely ridership, but also equity, also best practices from APTA, those sorts of things, I think, would help decision makers and in the future the board make recommendations that aren't strictly based on the number of votes, because there's attendance and outreach and other issues, even though there was a very thorough job in this, and I find no fault there. Is there?
We do have a demographic analysis for the projects that would add new service, so in the plan you will see how each project, the percent increase in each of those equity metrics, how much is reached, so that you could judge it from that standard as well. When it came time to having the dollars and being able to make a decision about what to implement.
Through the chair, just one more comment,
please.
And I do notice that because of the increased frequency, that's one of the biggest ways to get people on the bus. And I'm just thinking about how we get more people on the bus in Vision Zero that will make our streets so much safer. So I think that this is a really great tool also to support Vision Zero.
board comments? Okay, this is an action item, so we will open up to public comment. Again, public comment specifically on the prioritization of the Transit on the Move projects. So opening up, yes. 2 minutes,
on your second page,
yes.
You say that bus route 65 is not going to have any different frequency other than waiting an hour for it. Since I have to take 3 buses to get to my storage unit to check on my stuff, waiting an hour for 65 is ridiculous. Because I waited with a bunch of tourists, people landed, and they wanted to go to the mall, and we waited, and we counted 7 bus 40s before 65 ever showed up. And being he only goes on a loop, it makes you wonder. And when you ask him politely questions, you get this, oh, I have an A attitude. I'd like to give him an A attitude. I mean, you wait there for an hour, and then there's booths for smokers, but there's nobody for non-smokers. Then they say, I think what you said about using your cell phone for a light when you're waiting there at night, this is a light. Cell phones do not do any good. I've asked them for the little blinking things. You would have thought I was trying to cut his fingernails down to the quick. You can't get them. If you guys really, really, really are for us, try taking the bus instead of driving your car, being nice and warm, and playing your music loud. Try running them. We had a newspaper reporter several years ago. She said she was going to ride it for a whole week. She couldn't even last 3 days. If you really want to see where the improvements need to be, take the bus. See how far you have to walk when they say, oh, we're going to the library. Stop you off on C Street, and you have to walk all the way to the library, then you have to walk down, and then you have to walk over and get the right in. That's ridiculous. So it was fine before. Just turn it back to what it was.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Again, these are comments specifically related to the prioritized project list. General public comments are towards the end of the meeting.
He's on target here.
Yes.
Carl Kanzer. Route 60, I have a question you can answer real quick. When is the old Seward Highway route going to be implemented, the previous Route 60?
We don't know.
They need it now. They can't go another winter. This is going into the third winter. This is ridiculous. Route 36, I would move 36 up to right below Route 60. Because 36 goes past Geneva Woods Medical Center. Sometimes I have to go there. It's a long walk from Tudor, Benson, or Lake Otis to get to Geneva Woods. So, you know, I'm looking at it. You give 15-minute service to other areas of town, mainly north and northeast. And the old Seward Highway route used to run in 36th Avenue. Used to run every hour. Why can't you make adjustments for them and give us these routes back? Eliminating Route 60 makes me walk another mile and a half. And I'm already walking a mile and a half. And not counting the people, women with small children, have to walk from Downing Road to Tudor. I know a guy that has to walk 2 miles. And they say go to Diamond Center. They go to the Diamond Center. They either have to go to Lake Otis or Arctic Boulevard, a circuitous route, and then take another bus to go downtown where they're going, where the old previous Route 60 was a straight shot down the Seward Highway into town. I would move 36 up because people really need it. It goes past the library like the previous Route 60. Have to go to the library.
Thank you. Yes.
Name is Pedizarmo. I would like to suggest that the study to conduct a route analysis be moved up on the list of things to prioritize. I believe that this would help with the efficiency of already said
routes that are having trouble and multiple complaints coming in. And the time factor is a real challenge for us that ride the bus. And if the bus doesn't come on time, it hinders our employment with threats of being fired. So I would really like that to be moved up on the list as a priority. If you want to increase services and people taking your bus, I really recommend that this analysis would really make it more efficient and increase your revenue.
Great, thank you. Yes. My turn. Charlie Rogge, and I'm actually, my friend Karen Barnard was not able to come to the meeting this evening, but she had voiced a concern on route to the assembly meeting on a week ago, Tuesday the 5th, and on the 20, I believe it was the route 25, and witnessed a woman wanting to getting on the bus or at a bus stop who had been assaulted. She could hear her crying, and from what she said, it sounded as if the bus driver was not encouraged to report the incident to police. If you're talking about increasing ridership, I would think that that's something that needs to be addressed. Thank you very much.
My name is Lisa Holland, and I'm a neuroscientist, and I was looking at this really quickly, and I saw the non-union range 19 position. I think that is a detriment to unions. You need a qualified person in there, and you already have somebody qualified through the union, so you have less chance of problems like what's happening now with all the route changes, because you guys didn't catch this guy that made such a mess out of everything. Also, I just finished coming from the library and working with the Homeless Resource, HREBC, and they said that the route to the library needs to be established. They are starting a donation floating drive there. They also have 50% of the people that use the library services are homeless, and they're providing food and different services there at the library, so we need transportation for these people to get to their resources and not resources. And also, please put back the old Seward. That really hinders a lot of employment for a lot of people. This is an employment problem, and it needs to be taken care of, and redo 60. I don't know how many people I've talked to are homeless now because they couldn't get to their jobs and got fired because they couldn't get anywhere. One lady right now walks 2 hours to her job from that 60 route instead of taking 4 hours bus. It would take her 4 hours to get to her job. Instead, she walks 2 hours every day. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Yes. It's you, Sam. Sam Moore, not to beat a dead horse. I love the new system. The system is spectacular, except one glaring omission, and that is the 60, the old 60. It doesn't have to, I would like some old Seward access. It doesn't have to be exactly what the 60 was by any stretch of the imagination. Even 90-minute headways, I would be more content with throughout the day. But better access to South Anchorage, as well as the old Seward between Diamond and basically the library. That section is very difficult to get through the current system. And I will leave the dead horse there.
Thank you.
I will also basically say what you said, that you need to put the 60 back, because right now the 60 used to be right next to where I live, and I could go right down to Diamond. It was a straight shot. But now, with the new system, I would have to walk all the way up to, I think it's the McDonald's, and it's like 15-minute walk. I take another bus, take me out to Diamond. And also, I can't go to the library because you took away the 60. It went, goes right back, right by the library and right by Walmart. I can't do that right now. So just put it back where it was.
Could you state your name for the record, please?
My name is Ann Birch. And one more thing. I do wish that there was a Route 30 in Midtown, because right now, for me to get to work, I've got to go downtown to catch a bus 30 to take me to work out near Alaska Regional. And it just takes twice as, it just takes twice as long. Thank you.
Any other comments on the prioritization of the projects? Yes.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. Listening to the comments here and concerns about the routes and being proposed, we're evading the key problem. Is you're dealing with what money you got, what the budget is for this. The fact is, it's competing with roads. Is a policy to have more mass transit to get people off the roads, which the people here want, or is it the investment going into the roads? So we need to deal with changing a policy that you're not penny-pinching the dollars and having messages we're saying on these routes of difficulty getting around, and the end result is you're going to continue a policy of penny-pinching, and I'm talking about the city, on dealing with mass transit, and change it to a percentage of how much the city is going to be devoted as a policy to deal with mass transit versus the roads. That's the way to go. Not this. This can't be continued because they're going to be running into more problems. Where's the money going to come from? State and all that. It's not going to stop. It's going to only get worse. And I'll leave you with this comment concerning the route. We had budget hearings at the assembly. The first one didn't get completed to midnight. One member who was present couldn't get home because there was no mass transit to get him home. A party there gave him a lift. The next budget hearing, was next one or the one after, Dyson noted the concern and provided the party a lift. This is what's going on. They can't even go to Lusac Library for a governmental meeting to address public hearings without fear that these meetings are going to go to midnight and they can't have their say. And just closing this 2 minutes is a travesty. It should be 3 minutes. You really don't want to hear from the public. The assembly has 3 minutes. Why are you doing 2 minutes?
Can you please silence your devices? Thank you. Any other comments? Other comments on this item? Ma'am, I believe you already spoke on this item. We'll have additional public comment later in the evening.
After the bus stop.
Seeing no other comments, I would entertain a motion on this item.
I would move to recommend approval of the Transit on the Move prioritized project list and cost estimates. With the changes to the UPass line item that were mentioned earlier.
I'll second that.
Discussion? Seeing none, I will take a vote in support of the motion. Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Moving on to item 6B, PTAB 2020 Operating Budget Resolution.
C. 6C,
yes, thank you. So you'll find in the back of the packet a resolution that we forwarded to the assembly regarding many of these items with the the ask at the end being an additional $1.5 million to the implementation of a new bus route to the highway with access to Lusac Library. And this body strongly recommended that to the assembly for their inclusion in the budget, which is currently under consideration.
This is second.
So today was a very interesting and busy day. I came into the office this morning with an amendment from Assembly Member Felix Rivera, and we had not heard anything to date about whether the ask from PTAB was going to be addressed. When we did our Assembly Budget work session, we got all of 7 minutes to address the body and to educate and to advocate for the service that we provide. So one of the questions that I was asked immediately was, why is there not a, you know, why is there no additional service, you know, outlined here? And my response as the director was, well, that was proposed to the administration and it was not forwarded to you. There was no way that we were not going to go ahead and put what we had heard out on the table for consumption and for the assembly to be able to make a decision. I think we've been very open throughout this entire process about where the additional service will come from. And at this time, the additional service comes from additional investments in our system from the Anchorage Assembly. That's who decides our budget. That's who decides what gets funded and comes back in the form of service and studies and things like that to the public. So when I came into this amendment this morning, it immediately started off at $1.5 million. That's the planning estimate that you'll see on page one for the very first project. And they are calling it a neutral amendment. But what it requires is a significant cut from every single other department in the municipality outside of police and fire. And so we did a lot of brainstorming and tried to get really creative in how we could potentially have some additional revenue and funding to be able to implement this route. And so what we ended up with at this point is there's some grant monies that may end up on the table in 2020 that would allow us to put this route back on service for about 3 years. And in that 3 years, we need to figure out a way to continue to fund it in the meantime. So right now, they're looking at a second version of an amendment that essentially will provide us with $250,000 of match for a federal grant for 3 years. So that's $250,000 we would need in 2020, we would need another $250,000 in 2021, and we would need another $250,000 in 2022. So at this point, what we are asking for is to continue to show up and support what it is that you need to get to your jobs and your healthcare and your daily life activities. And really understand that you're your best advocate and you have to go to the assembly and have these conversations with them. We understand, we see the priorities, we know the challenges. And your PTAB and the staff of my department, we get on the buses, we ride the bus, and we understand the challenges. When it takes you 2 buses to get to a meeting and you gotta leave an hour and a half ahead, we know this, we understand this. So I think that the biggest thing is if you can't make it to the meeting on Tuesday, you pick up the phone, you call, you email, and you bombard your assembly member with what it is that you want. And right now, what will support us best is this $250,000 to be able to match the federal grant, to be able to reinstate the service. That is Project One, essentially. So that's how my day started and ended, basically. So, back to you.
This is an information item, so is there any board comments or discussion?
Yes. Through the chair, I just want to say I'm really, really, really excited about this amendment, and I really hope that it goes through, just because every single time that we have a PTAB meeting,
Every single public testimony, or a lot of them, make references to the fact that we don't have access to Old Seward anymore, or 236, and to the library. And it breaks my heart every single month, just because we can't do anything about it if we don't have the money to do it. This amendment is a tangible thing of something that we can point at, and I'm excited to hear the new progress on the funding structure, which would alleviate a lot of that stress on the municipality. And so I really, really hope that this can either go through, or that this amendment, I know a lot of things are still in flux right now, so even right now it's not even final, but it's really clear that there is so much need and demand for the library and access to healthcare and all of that. So I just encourage everybody, please, please, please contact your assembly members and urge them to pass the amendment to reinstate access to the library and to Old Seward and to 36, which is all one group.
Any other comments? I'll just reiterate, it was said earlier, it comes down to funding, and we've definitely heard you. It was a top-ranked project in the transit move process, but we just weren't able to provide that piece of funding. And this provides a, not painless, there's still small cuts to other departments, but with the match, as about as painless as it's going to come to facilitate this service to Old Seward and the library. So we're excited about the prospect of that, but we can't make it ourselves. We kind of got the ball rolling along with your support, but we really need, this won't move forward without broad support.
So, can I ask a question?
Yes.
So I'm ignorant about the budgeting process, but I gather from what I saw from Assemblyman Rivera, if you make an amendment or as part of the budget, and you're calling it revenue neutral, you have to identify the things that are going to change in the proposal. Okay, I got it. So that's why he had to identify each of those departments, everything except, police and safety. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And just to clarify, the cuts to the departments with the new amendment are tenths of a percent. So they're still numbers and still budget.
But it's changed today.
It changed today, yeah. So it's relatively small. Any other board comments or discussion?
I'll just add through the chair. I just think it's really exciting and amazing that we can match federal funding and have the federal government help support, you know, what we have in Anchorage, and find that match and work together across departments, across different pieces of the government to identify that and make sure that all Anchorage residents are being prioritized.
I will note real quick that the Assembly is taking up their amendments in a work session tomorrow, and then they will carry whatever amendments, I believe, forward on the floor on Tuesday. So they will start digging through them tomorrow, officially.
Through the chair, can we have details on when that work session is? Yeah. People want to stop by? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So as this is an information item, there will not be any public comment, but we're moving on to overall public comment. Again, state your name at the beginning and 2 minutes per person. I have the sign-in sheet where folks can invite where they wanted to speak, so I'll work through this first and then open up to folks who haven't had a chance to share. So Shirley Smith is the first on the list.
Okay, I'm going to quote myself. If you guys were running for mayor or president, you would be shaking hands, kissing babies, you'd be walking your area. Same way if you're a city council member. You want to meet your constituents, so you walk their area. If you ride the bus like we do, having to wait in the cold, or as this woman said, walk hours to work. My son lives at 915 Ingram. He has to walk to the Sears, well, I call it Sears Mall, to work at Carves at 5 o'clock in the morning. How warm do you think that is when there ain't no buses? He tried riding a bus one time for me, and it was very confusing because half the stops weren't there. I have talked to Lowe's and Home Depot. They would be glad to build these little places for us to sit if you would let them decorate it the way they want to with their advertisement, which why not? It ain't costing you. It's on them. I had to walk from Benson, where the Village restaurant is, to 36 again to go to my eye doctor, my ear doctor, and to the Providence Clinic. When they saw me again, they says, "You need a cab, don't you?" I said, "I need some." She says, "Why did they take them out?" I says, "I don't know. I wasn't here to beat them with my naughty stick, but this is ridiculous. I can't go unless I walk that far. That's on a good day. If it's not a good day, I can't go. I can't afford the anchor ride, which is almost as much as taxi. So unless you guys are really willing to take the time, since you volunteer, and ride the bus for a week, see how close you can get to Walmart, how you have to carry your groceries however you can to get back on the bus. This is bad, okay? This is your city, but it's also mine. I came back to this. I'm like, oh my gosh. We have so many days off. They take off for Seward Day. They take off Martin Luther King Day.
I have to ask you to wrap up your comment, please.
I'd like my bus route that goes down 36 back. If you do nothing else, that would help a whole lot. Because then I could go to the doctor when I need to. I could even go to the hospital.
Thank you, ma'am. Next on the list is Carl Winter.
Time?
Go yell at the assembly.
That's a good idea.
Carl can answer.
Give me go fun, Ken.
You know, I was sort of disappointed at the assembly meetings that Mr. Haberman mentioned. I was there three times. And all three times, I really addressed these routes and we need money. The old Seward Highway, 36th Avenue, I think are very critical. That lady just left was there. Charlie was there with a friend of his. Four people. I didn't see any of the PTA meeting people there. Maybe you talk to the assembly at another time. I don't know. There's something else I'd like you to keep in mind. I've been fighting this ever since this inception, since spring of 2017, Bart knows, because I've been very outspoken about this. And when they put the maps up, I said it's not going to work. And it isn't working. We gave all the service to one area of town at the expense of eight eliminate areas. So the new people on the board, bear with me. Like I said, I've been fighting this since spring of 2017. And I'm getting frustrated, getting tired of walking. I already have to walk 8 blocks from where I live to the nearest bus. Downhill coming out, uphill going in with this cart. For my business, 1.5 miles to bring I'm a massage therapist. My laundry, I have to go about 1 mile to get to the laundromat because there's no bus. Pushing this down a Seward Highway. I have to cross three major highways. Tudor, Old Seward Highway, International Airport Road. So we need that route desperately, just like 36. It used to go past the library, covered Spinard. People have to get to the doctor and to work. So, you know, if I sound frustrated, I get a little passionate, I bring out my first sergeant's voice. It's because I've been fighting this all this time, and it's getting tiresome. I know you say money, but think of the routes that are running 15 minutes, and you eliminated a route that goes every hour. There's your money.
Thank you. Next up is David Henry. Okay. Linda Larson.
Thank you for getting the bus stops at the shelters at UAA. It's appreciated, and they're being used. I did have a question about some consistency with a lot of the new bus drivers that we have. I was over at Prov the other day, and bus 55 came up, and I was waiting for 20, which pulled up behind the 55. So I'm waiting because there was a guy exiting with a bicycle and everything. And when I got up on the 20, the lady said that I should have gone down to meet her because it was two stops for her to pull up once and pull up before. And I said, well, that's not consistent with what happens at transit. At transit, and it's a you know, problem with room for the number of buses that are there, just like where you were at Prov. I said, at transit, you can start going towards the bus to meet them where they are, and then as soon as the bus in front of them leaves, they move up. So I said, we need some consistency about how the bus drivers stop so you can board them, because otherwise people are running back and forth trying to get the bus, and it's moving. It's a moving target. Mm-hmm. So I just would like some consistency in the training there, and I told her that I would mention it to try to get it consistent.
Thanks. Next up is Samantha
Desarmo.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to talk about availability of bus service for people that experience either mental or physical disabilities. I work with an agency where we provide services and training individuals on how to ride the bus and educate them. But what we need is your assistance in providing services for our individuals at a reduced cost with all the budget cuts that you're explaining, and I understand how much that gives you a bite in that region. It also hurts our individuals because they also suffer the same budget cuts that you do, which means when you raise your bus prices because you're trying to alleviate that budget cut, it really bites into their funding. So they have to decide on a monthly basis, do I get a $60 bus pass or do I get $60 worth of food? The options are really slim there. So what I would like to suggest is if you could give me information on how we can assist our individuals to live more sustained lives and have the benefit of riding Anchor Ride safely, which brings me to my second point of we have individuals that are inebriated on substance or drugs, or they're gang affiliated, purposely riding the bus to taunt individuals. I've experienced it. I've gotten angry and actually made the bus driver stop so I could throw an individual off the bus for inappropriate conversation with a child. I think that we need some security of knowing that we can go to the bus driver and he will alleviate that person immediately, because this is becoming a threat that I've seen more than once. So the safety of our disabled individuals, whether they're mentally or physically challenged, are really at a higher risk. I'd like to bring down the risk to the individuals I serve by being more confident the bus driver's watching out for our individuals. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Anne Bush?
Okay. I'm going to just reiterate what I said before. Please bring back the bus 60, because, again, if I... Before you made the changes to cut it, I could take the 60 and go right out to Diamond. It would be a straight shot. Right now, I would have to walk, a 20-minute walk to get up to catch a bus that I would have to get on to get to Diamond. And when I get to Diamond, there's only a certain amount of time where you can catch that bus, or, you know, the bus is cut off at a certain time. I think it's like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I have a big beef about the bus drivers being too early when you're trying to catch the bus. And if you're like half a second late, they will not wait. Mm-hmm. And that results in me taking the next bus, and I have to take two buses to get to work, and most of the time that results in me being late. So I just wish the bus drivers would be on time and wait if you're like half a second, not quite at the bus stop, but just wait, they see you running, and not just zoom off. Now, when the when the bus drivers are late, they do zoom off right away. Holidays.
That was 2 minutes of your time.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Next up, Weddington Rodell.
Say the name again.
Weddington.
Weddington. Rachel.
Rachel. Oh, I see. I
just did it. I'm sorry. I don't know if this topic applies to anybody, but for me, it's the bus passes. You know, like when you purchase a 30-day bus pass for $60 for myself. Okay, if you use the bus pass, let's say six times in a month. If you don't use it for the rest of the month, you've been docked every day that you're not using that bus pass. So for me, you know, considering that I've been diagnosed with an ailment, sometimes I can't really physically just get outside. Some days I just don't feel well. So me being that I purchased this bus pass for $60 for 30 days, I think I should be able to get 30 days worth of rides versus if I only use it for six times that month or within 30 days, the rest of the money is being wasted, kind of. I'm just a little bit right now, but yeah, I think everybody understand what I'm saying. You purchase a bus pass, you only use it for six days out of 30 days. Why can't we have that rest of that until we use up the 30 days? Do anybody understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes, I do.
Okay, that's it. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. And again, I apologize about my reading of names.
That's okay.
Appreciate all your clear handwriting here. Next up is Lisa Holland.
Thank you, Chair. You were talking about items for making money. Instead of having bus route numbers, we have the highest amount of millionaires per capita in the state in Anchorage, Alaska. We should be able to maybe put their names on the routes. That would be a good funding. They would pay for it. Also, you guys forget about Bill and Melinda Gates. They're big up here in Fairbanks. They knew Susan Butcher, and I knew them also. And Melinda Gates has now a Pivotal Ventures program set up to help women and people in the United States. You might want to look up Pivotal Ventures. She is giving money. She even helped fund one of our students at the research at UAF with the Hibernation Project. So she's very entrepreneurial in this area, and she would be a really great outreach for this. She has a lot of world information, and a lot of people can help. Also, since we have the most biggest transit of people, why don't we reach out to these people that traveled away from Alaska and that have the money to be able to help with our system. Mm-hmm. And donating and changing the names of the system, I think, would be really helpful for the routes, because there's a lot of egos out there who would love to have their names read in July. Am I correct? And then security for the mentally ill and the disabled, the hidden disabilities. I had a traumatic brain injury. I've survived ovarian cancer, another chemo brain, and I do research in traumatic brain injury. Worked with a lot of individuals, and I see no training by the bus drivers. There is none. I see brutality by the bus drivers being bullies. I have seen people not allowed on the bus incorrectly. I have seen people given Haropinol and trying to get help and not being helped. We really truly need the bus drivers to go through conflict management training. Really, and I'm sure the University of Alaska would be able to donate their time with their social students for social research, to donate their time and work with that, and it would probably not cost anything. Thank you.
Next up is Sean Ryan.
In regards to what you said, 60-day passes equals $30, so I'm not sure your argument really stands up, but on that point, I had a friend who I've been helping out here recently until he left, went back to Seattle about a month ago, because he's living on a meager VA disability, and being able to live in a clean, safe place meant being isolated from the bus routes. And so even though he was eligible for a half-price fare, he just decided to quit paying for a bus pass for that reason, because it was a mile walk to either the Route 10 or the Route 40 in either case. The main thing I wanted to talk about is that this morning I saw a full-size bus on the Route 11, And, you know, the 22-foot buses are a good idea on the surface, but if you've ever actually ridden in any of them, you realize how beat up and rickety a lot of them are. Because obviously they're recycled Anchor Rides vehicles. And so I kind of wonder whether this will be another well-intentioned experiment that'll go the way of the dinosaurs. Thank you.
Sam Moore.
Well, it's me. Steelers just scored. It's kind of exciting. First of all, I want to say it's much more entertaining sitting on this side of the table than that one. I wanted to take a second and say that for much of you in the public, I don't know how much you travel outside, but Anchorage has a world-class public transportation system for the number of people it serves and for the area it serves. We are very, very, very lucky to have what we have. We want more, but we're very lucky. The other thing, I've been up here almost 7 years, and it's amazing that the only complaint I have is real-time GPS tracking of the bus. That didn't even exist when I moved up here. Not really, but I've talked offline with my specific instances with the 25. But anyways, thank you all.
Thank you. So that is everyone who signed in indicating they'd like to speak. Is there anyone who hasn't spoken yet during this period? Yes.
Hello, my name is Spruce Lynch, and I'm one of the lucky ones able to use Anchor Rides. It's a real privilege, and I have used Anchor Rides since 2018, and I don't have to use it exclusively, but when I need it, I'm glad that it's there. At this meeting, I'd like to raise two suggestions that will raise customer satisfaction of an already good service. Sometimes when waiting for an Anchor Ride, like at the VA, there are like three buses, and then the VA shuttles, and then the police cars, and somewhere in there is the Anchor Ride, but I can't see it. So, you know, I'm walking up and down, and then they're gone. And then I get, you know, I find out that I was dinged because I wasn't there, but we couldn't see each other. And so my suggestion to take care of that is, you know, these little golf flags you put in, you know, here it is, and they put, why don't they have those at the side of the bus? So when they come into a place, they can flag it up, and we can see it. And I can't see the forest because of the trees. You know, it's hard to see it. And I'm suggesting that, sometimes customers are being held in at doctor's offices for medical services that cannot be interrupted. You know, excuse me, doctor, would you hold that suture? I got to call Anchor Rides or I'm going to be dinged. They can't do that. So they fall on the bad side of the time thing, you know. We're relying on busy support staff to make phone calls. Like you go to and they say to the nurse, could you call for me? Well, she's busy. So this is something I'd like to see worked out. And I'm recommending, like for places at the VA or something like that, they call to the information desk and say, could you please call so-and-so? Or let them know that we're here. And then they have to wait like 4 or 5 minutes. I don't know how long they give. But there'd be more dialogue. Because if you miss the bus or that shuttle service, not only are they mad at you and you can put on this list, thank you very much. Yeah. Oh, one last thing, a final thing would be to have a rewards thing for the drivers of the Anchor Rides. So yeah. They can be validated for the good things that they do. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else hasn't spoken? Yeah, Charlie.
Okay, this time I'm speaking on my own behalf. I'm sorry. I attended the budget meetings for at the assembly the other night and testified about an incident that happened to me a week ago Tuesday the 5th, coming home from the bus or walking home across C Street to my apartment complex from coming off the bus, where I was nearly ran over by a car making a turn to go south on C Street as I was walking east. And the light was, I have the audible pedestrian signal, so the walk sign came on, said, walk sign is on to cross C Street. And of course, I'm always keeping a sharp ear out for any right on turn or you know, vehicles making a turn across my path of travel. And so this apparently I was walking across C Street and listening for anybody making a turn. Well, great. Kane actually against the side of a car as it was, you know, perpendicular, coming, making a turn south. And apparently there was only one person who saw this happen, and they couldn't get a license plate number. So when I testified at the assembly hearing, one of the assemblymen, I think it was Chris Constant, had asked me about what I thought was just totally unrelated, about somebody who had dashed out into traffic, not, you know, against a light and was putting themselves in a dangerous situation, which I didn't know about until he mentioned it. But anyway, it was quite an experience testifying. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who left? They were coming.
Hasn't spoken yet?
Right on red. Sound like
yes.
Right,
it was a left. They were making a left.
On a positive note, I think I should do a commercial for you guys. Because I have literally, and I brag all the time about this, riding the bus today. Oh, wait. I started December of last year, taking the bus every single day. I haven't missed one single day. And it's not because, I mean, I do feel sorry for your comments about getting to work and everything. But I just want to say, I'm retired. So I just go every day. Go to the mall, go here, go there. And I can see a big improvement from year one. I'm on my third year. Mm-hmm. In the past, I was house sitting, and I still am. And now they're 80. So if I'm 75, they could, older people can keep taking the bus if I can. And I've literally walked 15 minutes each way to catch it. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying, the point I'm getting across, I'm kidding about the commercial. I'm even nervous doing this. It was not a very good thing. Although I was a cheerleader in high school.
Okay,
a cheerleading squad. I couldn't even do cartwheels. I won't do it again. But the last comment I want to make is about what she said, and there are. The other day, I was going towards Walgreens, and this guy, I had just gotten off bus 40 and was going around the corner to Middleway, and this guy had a mental problem, and he goes, I know you, and he'd asked for money before, and I just don't give them money. Don't even want to stop, you know, and I just kept going. And he said, you know, you're all dead. And he banged the window, and they did call security. He banged the window at the Middleway. Mm-hmm. I don't want to scare the kids, but we all have to be so careful. And, but anyway, the positive notes.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who hasn't spoken that still has a comment?
Eugene?
I just wanted to
tell me. Oh, I forgot my name.
My name is Wendy Williams. I wanted to ask People Mover if you guys could encourage passenger etiquette, like a brochure or a sign, of us being respectful to each other as People Mover riders, that we appreciating what we do have in our bus system. Helping keep our buses clean, encouraging clean bus stops, i.e. benefits of adopting a stop, giving us some kind of incentives. I already picked our bus stop that we're going to adopt. And then my other topic was bus driver etiquette should be encouraged, maybe some kind of training program. The bus driver respect, not all of them, you know, I'm sure we're all questionable at sometimes in our lives, but that they could just be trained to be respectful. I don't like to throw my race out there, but I do note that
I do see my people treated very horrible. And regardless of whatever's going on in their lives, their drinking problems or mental illness or whatever's going on, the bus drivers shouldn't target them, and they shouldn't talk down to them the way that they do. I don't like my children seeing it. I don't like hearing it myself. And I would just ask that, you know, not just for my race or my people, but that we are respected as a people. We are one species. I just have two other things. I would request that we do have reflectors on our bus stops. I can't really see in the dark time. Sometimes I miss my stops or I beg the bus driver to please let me off near a certain point.
Yeah.
My other subject was if we could have a People Mover Appreciation Day in the summertime. Maybe at a park, a potluck, just something not too blown out of proportion so that you guys could encourage us of who we are and what we do contribute towards the system, you know, that we don't entirely rely on the government for help, but that we're actually a part of this process and to see what we actually give to the system to keep it going.
So thank you, ma'am. Yes, in the back.
I just wanted to say something. I'm sorry for being late. The bus was late.
Seriously,
30 minutes late, and the bus runs once an hour.
You'd be okay.
And the bus runs once an hour. Thank you for laughing. I feel better. Okay, two things. One, actually more than two, but we'll start with 36th Street, or 36th Avenue, about most of the states, 36th Street. What are the possibilities of getting something on 36? Some people never thought they'd never see a day there was not a bus going down 36, because you had the 2 going there, the 36, the 102. You had a whole bunch of buses going down there. Now, that would serve Providence Family Medical Center and the library, which served both of them.
And they sell bus passes there.
Yeah. So the possibilities there, it would serve a lot of good. The other thing is the bus drivers, they're pretty good. I find them to be some really nice guys, especially Serge, really terrific guy. I had to put something in there for him. He's good. He always keeps you laughing all the time. Before they take their break, put the sign of where they're going. The average bus driver, what I have only seen so far, they'll take their break, come back, flick their sign, take off, zoom. Yeah. If you're not right there, you're going to miss that bus. And I think they should do more than and serve the public by giving us, turn on us, put it on where they're going, give us a chance to get to that bus while they take their break or whatever you're doing. But average, this is the only thing I've seen. I've seen one bus driver, only one, who put on his sign and then took his break, bathroom break or whatever. But it's really hard when the driver flicks on the sign, takes off.
Yep. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. And the other thing, one more thing, just one more, please.
I'm sorry, you can purchase after the meeting. Thank you.
Okay, well, it's going to be about the 15 to 30 bus and white.
We're approaching 7 o'clock here. Anyone else who hasn't spoken?
Thank you. Yes.
Good comment.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I've been at 2 meetings in a row. I'm amazed and appalled at the conditions and what I'm hearing, number one. Like I said earlier, the situation is the focus is on the automobile, the car, versus the bus. You're dealing with penny pinching of money, and we're going to hear more and more of this until the policy of the municipality of Anchorage says a greater percentage is devoted and taken away in dealing with the roads and moving people on the buses. More people will go on the buses if the situation's more encouraging. Those who are using the buses, what I'm saying, who are here in great difficulty of being here because of the mass transit situation of how they're connected to go to meetings, is this is their only way to get around. But there are several hundred thousand people that live in this area. There is a valley coming in, and they say, where can we get a bus? The conditions of the winter and all that. This is going to continue because the budget, we're in a state budget crisis, and there's going to be less choices. And the fact is, a policy needs to be reversed and take the higher percentage on mass transit so the people, particularly people who are trying to find a job in the future that don't have a job, have a chance to get to that possible job. So that's number one. Two minutes. We have a clerk here that knows better. The assembly does 3 minutes. I plan to address the assembly and say to them, you're doing 2 minutes. That's not providing a reasonable opportunity for the public to be heard. That's state law, by the way, those words. And the assembly can do 3 minutes. You can do 3 minutes. You must be hearing this kind of comments. It's been going on for a long time. But nothing's going to get changed because it's going to be the same old situation. And the fact is, when you cut them off on two, and they want to continue, and I want to stress this. You know where the experts are on mass transit in closing? Right in this room. They're dealing with it on a regular basis. They know what's going on, and they have good suggestions that you should take and the semi should hear. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Can I just have a quick show of hands of who still needs to speak? Because we might need to extend the meeting. Or extend the meeting. Just one more. Okay, go ahead.
I totally agree that the bus drivers should take some kind of effort in conflict resolution and something to deal with some of the racial issues that we have in our community and its great diversity that we have here. Overall, most of the drivers are pretty awesome guys and gals. They're pretty laid back, but there is a handful, and I haven't caught specifics, but I'm working on that. I haven't been riding for a while. I had surgery, been laid out. It's my first time out of the house. Yay. Other than that, I think that's the only other issue that I would want you guys to look at and consider is some kind of security on the bus, because I do see a lot of intimidation against children, women, disabled, natives, elders. I mean, it's out there, and I've seen it several times. I mean, if I'm on the bus, it's not going to happen in my presence. Otherwise, I'm going to deal with it myself, because that's just me. And most of the time, it's in front of my kids, and I'm not going to allow that either. So I think that's something that we should look at as a community, is having something more secure on the bus and having these guys being trained more, not better trained, because they're pretty well trained, but conflict resolution and some kind of safety net. Thank you.
Well, excellent.
May I have 30 seconds?
Only one chance to speak. So anyone who hasn't spoken yet, would like to speak? Okay, I'm going to pause for a second. Can I have a motion to extend the meeting?
Motion to extend the meeting by 5 minutes? 10.
Sure.
How long it takes?
Do you have a second?
Second.
Any objections?
Nay.
Yes.
Nay.
One objection, but the motion passes to signal 710. Yes.
Sorry to do this to you. My name is Bev Wilkie. I've been riding buses for 4 years now. I'm a happy camper. I do anchor rides since I'm over 60. Find that those folks are very helpful. I must be riding a different bus system because I haven't been observing some of the issues that I hear in depth tonight. I mean, really serious intimidation types of issues. I'm happy that I haven't had those situations, and I'm very sorry, incredibly sorry, for those people who seem to be having issues. I appreciate the bus drivers. Got some new guys on board, giving out a few too many free rides. Generally speaking, they do, old and new, guys and gals, do really well. It's tough for them to be a bus driver and also oversee people's individual behaviors. People's individual behaviors are their own responsibility. These bus drivers aren't cops, they're not counselors, they're driving a bus. They have to make a snap decision sometimes. It's not always easy. But as I said, from my particular perspective, riding the buses for 4 years, and oh, by the way, the change that you did recently, I have found has been very, very good for my personal situation, but I do want the 60 back. The thing is, you know, I think that a lot of the individuals on the buses are not taking responsibility for their own behavior. And many of the people who are missing buses, you know, you got to be out there 5 minutes ahead, maybe wait 5 minutes after. If you see, I do the 35, the 20 and the 35 are congested. You have to get yourself out there to be sure you don't miss your 35, because sometimes it's parked behind. So I think in our own personal selves as bus riders, we need to take some responsibility.
Thank you. So with that, we will close the public comment period and move on to item 8, member comments. Jenny, would you like to start?
I will start, and I will restrict my comment to 2 minutes. So, running out one. Three things that I want to say. First, I use the little, when I try to use the bus, I try to get there 5 minutes early, and when I get there, I try to use the text thing to also see when the bus is going to come, but it wasn't working today, so I don't, oh, okay.
Yeah,
I
have some problems.
Right. Okay, y'all got it under control. The second is that it's warm and it's rainy and it's really slippery, so just be careful, everybody. Mm-hmm. It's really slippery, and it's going to be even more slippery this week and next week. Mm-hmm. The third thing that I want to say, and I already talked about this earlier in the meeting, but it is really, really clear that everybody really wants the bus back to the library that goes to Old Seward, and that goes through 36. This is the key to that. This amendment is really, really important. And if we get enough collective action to really, really pressure our assembly members and to get the funding, we can try to get this bus route back and bring back and revive Route 60. I scribbled down the names, the phone numbers, and the emails for all the different assembly members. Please contact your assembly members, call them every day. Like, they need the public voice to be pushed to make that vote, to bring that bus route back. And on top of that, stories are super, super helpful. We hear them all the time. You can come up to me and tell me your story, and I'll write down the emails and, you know, email that out too. But all that is super important. Mm-hmm. I'll stay here for a little bit, but I have to go to the bathroom.
It's all right
here.
Hopefully
this goes through fast. Yep.
It's all right here.
It is right there, but I don't know where I am in on that, so...
We can put that out after the meeting, Chelsea.
Thank you. Thank you all for your comments this evening, for being here every month. We really appreciate hearing from you. It's really helpful to hear over and over again that we need to get these routes back so that we get them back. And I think I would like to think that the Assembly would be on board with that. And it's exciting to me to see a bunch of different things coming together. I'm super sorry to hear about that dangerous right hook that Charlie experienced. That is one of the most common forms
yes.
of a crash in Anchorage. Mm-hmm. And there are initiatives working on improving those situations. Vision Zero is one of them, which is just reducing traffic fatalities and serious injuries. So, and that's working across departments. Again, I said this earlier, but I really love to hear that, you know, we're not just focusing only on public transit, because public transit, you take it to the hospital or you take it to go get your food. And so all these things are connected, and it's not, or you take it to school or work. And so it's important to know that, you know, People Mover is talking to the health department, is talking to the folks that are designing the roads so that we design roads that are safer and have better facilities. So I'm sorry to hear those issues, but it just makes us more impassioned to, you know, make things better, which I think they're getting better, and they will continue to get better. But I'll stop on my support.
Well, I just want to thank the audience members for being here, and just in the interest of time, I'm going to forego my other comments.
I'll take his time. No, I want to also thank everyone for showing up. And when you guys talk to us, we talk to assembly members, and so we may not show up at the assembly meeting, but we are talking to assembly members. We email our assembly members, so we are in touch with them as well.
I want to also thank the staff for like their hours and hours of attention to this new detail with as far as the budget goes. I know that you guys are dealing with stuff and you're short staffed, and the fact that you guys just come and advocate for us over and over again, year after year, I really appreciate that because we are all bus riders. Third, I'm a nurse, and so transit is the most effective tool to encourage people to get that regular physical activity. There's plenty of research and data out there to show that transit users get more regular physical activity than non-transit users. Transit is the safest form of transportation. Of the 40,000 transit deaths last year, only 44 of them came from transit. So transit is the most safest form of transportation. It allows people who have been maybe drinking too much. It gives you an opportunity to use your cell phone on the bus. It allows kids to get around at that age when they're kind of new drivers. So transit is really the key to many of our situations. So that's it. Thank you. Thank you, Doug.
So I will wrap up board comments here. First off, we heard some comments about bad behavior. Please report those to the customer service line. Mm-hmm. Can we have that number real quick?
343-6543.
There we go.
It's on the buses. It's on everything.
Yeah. Make sure that you identify the time and the coach number. Mm-hmm. That would be really helpful for us to be able to track these things down also. Yes. Sorry.
through the chair.
Through the chair.
So I very much appreciate riding the bus on days like today where it's difficult to ride. And just to make clear, everyone on the board is a transit rider. I've ridden the bus twice today. I'm a ride at home. I rode the bus from the library earlier this week. We're the best to have a baby earlier this summer. So we're volunteers, but we're doing this out of our own passion and our own experience as well. So we'd love to hear your experience. I'm not trying to one-up your experience, but we're all in this together, certainly. And with that, our role is to advise the assembly. And what we've done is taken your comments and created this resolution. And this resolution, among other things, led to an amendment to the budget for bus service to library and Donald Seward, which is what we've been hearing overwhelmingly. So you've been telling us, we've done what we've been doing, but this is the chance that won't come around again for another year to do any budget. Yes, we love to hear keep talking to us, but this is the chance. So between now and Tuesday, contacting your assembly members is more powerful than anything else you can do and any chance you have in the next year. So if you clearly feel strongly about this, we do too, but they're the ones who can really take the action. So with that, I entertained a motion to adjourn.
I second.
We are dismissed.
A strongly work session in this room on yes. Budget amendments at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
You and
the
work
great.
You can't speak.
No, I'm not. They should be in the front, but I'm not there.
I would ask.
Firing.